Friday the 11th of May, by Alan Becker, Torah at All Ages.
The title is Torah at All Ages, but before we get into the real theme of the shiur, perhaps to set a little bit of the stage where we are at this time of year. We're in the run-up now, the last few days before Shavuos, and the Bnei Soscha says that the Oiris, the illumination of Kabbalah Satera, really starts 17 days before Shavuos itself on Lag BaOmer. The Torah is described Ki Lekach Toiv Nosati Lochem, Torosi Al Tazoivu, and Toiv, so the Torah is Lekach Toiv. Toiv is Mispar Shiva Yisrael, is gematria of 17. And Lag BaOmer is 17 days before Shavuos. The Bnei Soscha also explains that the whole of the Sefirah is Lev Toiv, with the first 32 days until Lag BaOmer, and then the final 17 days from Lag BaOmer until Shavuos. We say, something you see printed at the beginning of the Gemara, there's a tefillah to say before you start learning. And one of the psukim which is contained in that tefillah, in that Yehiratzim, is Gal Einai Va'abito Niflo'es Mitera Sefer. Because Baruch Hu should reveal to my eyes, Gal Einai. Gal, again, is obviously Lag BaOmer. And from Lag BaOmer onwards, there is a certain revelation already of the illumination of Kabbalah Satera. The Pasuk says of Satanach Mimokas HaShavos, and the Bnei Soscha says two Ha'oros. Is number one, we know that the word Mimokas HaShavos don't mean Shabbos, it means Pesach. But that was always a point of contention between the Tzedukim and Chazal. The Tzedukim said, no, Shabbos means Shabbos Bereshis, i.e. the day of Shabbos, and Pesach is always on a, you always got to start it from a Sunday. Shabbos means from a Sunday. And Chazal said, no, Shabbos means the first day of Pesach. Says Bnei Soscha, so why didn't the Torah make it clear? What was the purpose of describing Pesach as Shabbos? And point number two is that we say a start in Lochem. And whenever we have the word Lochem, usually the Torah darshens it, Lochem is Litevaschem. There's some compelling reason. Start in Lochem, there's a reason why you've got to be doing this. He explains as follows. On Leidis Kaddish Achav, on the first night of Pesach, there was a tremendous, tremendous illumination of the Shekhinah, which is Torah. But it was unearned. They had not yet, at that stage, done anything to deserve it. It was what we can describe as Teiras Chesed. They were then put into a midbar, and it went black. And they then had to earn it day by day over the next 49 days, stage by stage, progression by progression, and earn their way back till Shavuos, when they could then receive the Torah and have it mitzat hadin, which is why we use the expression on Shavuos that they had Torah mipi hagevura, because chesed is rachamim, but gevura is din, something which you deserve already. And on Shavuos it was mipi hagevura. We know that we go from, on Pesach, the Korban or the Omer is Sa'orim, which is Machal Behema, and we progress throughout the Sphira. When we arrive at Shavuos, we reach a Korban, which is Machal Chitim, which is Machal Odom. We're meant to make that progression from Pesach to Shavuos, where we go up in Madrega to the extent that we then deserve to receive the Torah. Now, when you get something which you don't really deserve, that can be described as Shabbos. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos requires no input from us. You say, Kodesh Hilochem, Shabbos HaMagor, right? It's given to us. It requires no input from us. It doesn't require Kiddush from Bezdin. We don't say in the Baruch and the Kaddish, Yisrael v'HaShabbos. But when we come to Yom Tov, there's a change. It needs Kiddush of Bezdin. It's from Kaddish, Yisrael v'Hazmonim. It's very much, it very much has an input from Klal Yisrael. So referring to Pesach as Mimochras HaShabbos reflects that idea that we received an illumination of the Torah on Pesach, which was in the described as Shabbos. And that's why it says Bnei Sofer Usafartim Lochem, because it was something that you had unearned. You hadn't earned. It was unearned. And you have to progress. Usafartim Lochem, for your own good. Why? Because you received it in Machas HaShabbos. We then have to progress until Shavuot, when we have it as of right. Now, in last week's Perek, which is Perek Dalet, which is always the Perek before Lag BaOmer, there is a Mishnah Chaf Dalet. It's a very famous Mishnah, and Mishnah says, Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Elisha ben Avuya says, Haloimed Yeled Lamahu Doma. Someone who teaches a child, or some of the Rishon learn, someone who learns as a child. To what is he compared? Lidyoi Kesuva Amiyah Chodosh. To ink written on a new piece of paper. The Haloimed Zokin Lamahu Doma. And somebody who learns or teaches Torah to an older person. To what is it comparable? Lidyoi Kesuva Amiyah Mochuk. To ink which is written on erased paper. And the Farshim already point out that the contrast is not exact. It should be Niyar Yoshon. The opposite of Chodosh is Yoshon. And they said there's the middle stage. Someone who learns it in middle age, that's Niyar Yoshon. It's not Chodosh, but it's Yoshon. The Zikna, there's already a stage further. It's Niyar Mochuk. It's erased paper, and it's, if you've ever tried writing on a paper which has already been rubbed out a lot, you'll see it doesn't catch the ink, it doesn't absorb the print, and it's not a good result. And Rashi says, gets even more worrying. Rashi says, someone who learns someone teaches to a zokin, shecheach hakoil miyav. You forget it immediately, right? You forget it immediately. Rabbeinu Yonah takes the analogy further, and he says somebody who teaches a child or learns Torah when they're a child is like inscribing it, engraving it on stone. But if you learn when you're older, it's like writing on sand. But the wind will come a second later, and there won't be any zecher. Right? No, I don't know. You remember things which you learned as a child. Everybody realized they don't remember things which they learned as a child very clearly. But what daf did I do this morning? What mishaf am I doing? It's unfortunately very, very true. So there are two things which we learn from this Mishnah. The first thing we learn from this Mishnah is the advantage of learning young. So anybody involved in chinuch, anybody who is young, should realize the koyach that they have. I heard a shiur from Rabbi Waxman where he was talking about this Mishnah. He was saying a lot of things which I'm going to be saying today. And he said a story from anybody who learned in Manchester Yeshiva. There was a mashgiach there, but I think he said his name was Rav Dubara. Duvov. He was a gentleman from Russia. He said his mom, she loved Torah, so he used to say to him, and he used to say, he imagines Gehenna will be like Ben Osmani. Nobody's learning. And they noticed always his lips were always repeating Mishnah. And they said to him, how come do you know the Holoshish Sidra? He knew the Holoshish Sidra Mishnah Baal Peh. And he said, in Russia, every child of 11 years old knew the Holoshish Sidra Mishnah Baal Peh, because you never knew when you were going to be drafted into the army, and then there'd be no sparring anymore, no learning anymore. You had to make sure you knew the Holoshish Sidra Mishnah Baal Peh. 11 years old. Then another story, so Rav Shach had a relative who was a nephew of Rav Loza Moshe. Back in the morning, he had a kiddush of Rav Loza Moshe. And Rosa Moshe came to town, and this young man's father asked Rosa Moshe whether he would fahare his son. He was learning himself. Tzubas at the time, and he asked him a Gemara here, and a Rashi here, and a Tosis there, and he asked him a particular Tosis. The Tosis quotes Gemara in Yevamos. And he says, what's Pshat in the Gemara there? He says, I don't know. He said, you mean Tosis quoted a Gemara in another Masechta, and he didn't look it up? And he turned his back, he walked away in disgust. Rav Shach said, how old were you at this time? On this episode, he said, 6 years old. We're going about 80, 90 years. He said, that was what was expected. That was what was expected of a child of 6 years old. The Gemara in Shabbos, in the Sugi Ben Mavlikin, the Chanukah Gemara, brings the idea of Gerset Yankasa. Abaya had been taught a memra in the name of Yirmiyah, and he hadn't been Makabalit. And later on, he was taught it, Robin came and taught it in the name of somebody else, and he was Makabalit. And Abaya sort of moaned in a longful way, "Ah, if only I'd have learnt it the first time I was taught it." The Gemara says, "You've learnt it now. Oh, Gerset Yankasa. If I'd learnt it earlier, I'd have remembered it better." So that's Gerset Yankasa. But what do we learn from the Mishnah if we're past the age of being a Yeled? What do we do if we're past that? I mean, yeah, what do we do? Is the Mishnah telling us to despair? It seems to be a message of Yiyush. It seems to be a message of hopelessness and despair. And what are we meant to take out from the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos? So, in order to look into this a little bit further, we've got to analyze the, as is the rule in a lot of Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, if you want to really understand the memra that is being taught to you, you've got to look at who is the Bala memra, who is the author of that memra. And the author of this memra, if anybody remembers, is Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya is somebody who has another identity. And for those who've done Dafyomi, recently you've done the Sugim Chagiga. Acher, Elisha ben Avuya was also known as Acher. And it's Kedai, which will be Chazorah for the Dafyomi learners, to go through the Gemara Chagiga and hear what the Gemara has to say about the reason that Acher went Letarbus Ro. And the Gemara says, there were four Tanoim who entered Paradis, and Paradis, Rashi explains, is with Seamus, they were able to, we don't understand, they went up the Shemaim, they went, they were able to enter Shemaim and see and hear and experience things which we don't understand. And the Gemara said that the Tanoim concerned were Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says that all of them except Rabbi Akiva didn't come to a good end. This is Rabbi Ben Azai. When they went in, Rabbi Akiva warned them. He warned them that when they see certain things, not to say certain descriptions. They have to be very careful. So the Gemara says, Ben Azai hits it to mace. Ben Azai looked where he wasn't supposed to look, and he died. Ben Zoma hits it the Nifka. He got badly injured. The Rashi explained Nifka Datoi. He lost his mind. Acher, says the Gemara, Kitzates Benatias, which is continuing the analogy to a paradise. Paradise is an orchard. So he was Kitzates Benatias. He cut off plants, saplings. He cut off the saplings. And Rukiva was Yotze B'Sholim. Pshat and Kitzet Matias, we'll see in a second why the Gemara uses that analogy. But the Gemara explains that what happened was that Acher saw a certain Malach, whose name is Matachim, who was sitting and writing the Zechusim of Yisrael. And Acher said, he says, we've learnt that in Shemaim, in the presence of the Shekhinah, not allowed to sit. And I see that Metatron is sitting. That led him to conclude that Metatron was more than a mere malach. I use the word mere, right? It wasn't simply a malach, but that Chas v'Shalom, there was Shtei Rishuyos, that there was something godly about Metatron. The Gemara immediately says that in order to try and dispel this misunderstanding, they took out Metatron, the Malachim took out Metatron, and they beat him with 60 rods of fire. But Acher still reached the conclusion that he reached, Elisha ben Avuya, and he was Nofak the Tarbus Ro. And the Gemara says that a Baskel went out, and the Baskel said, Shuvu bonim shogrim, return wayward children, chutz ma'acher, except you, Acher. You're not wanted. Omar says, Elisha ben Avuya, hoyo v'itrid, hu gavrima, hu alma, seeing is anyway, I seem to have lost my olam haba. Late but this honey bahalma, I'm going to go and have a good time. Nofak achad the tal v'sra, and he went off. Rachman Islan, he left Yiddishkeit. And the first avera he did, nofak ashkak zayna, he found a zayna tova, and he asked her to do the dvar avera. She said to him, Omer levarav Elisha ben Avoya, aren't you the head of the tanner of Elisha ben Avoya? Oka was Shabbos. Oka pugla minishra, he uprooted, he did chil Shabbos, he uprooted a plant from the floor to show her that, not me, I'm not a great tanner, look, I'm a chabal Shabbos. She saw that and she said, Acher hu, that can't be Elisha ben Avoya, that must be somebody else. And that's where the name stuck. It was called Acher. The Gemara explained further that Acher had a very famous Talmud called Rameh. And Rameh continued to learn Torah from his Rebbe even after he was nofak the Tar B'Sura, and constantly tried to try and bring him back. And the Gemara says that Ma'isa ba'Acher she'yirechev al asus b'Shabbos boy Rameh mahalach Acher avnum b'Torah mipiv. Acher was riding his horse in Shabbos, and Rameh is walking behind, trying to learn Torah from his Rebbe. And so Acher says to Meir, Chazor l'achrecha, turn back, Shechvashi arti b'ikve susi ad kam chum Shabbos. He said, I've been counting the steps of my horse, we've now reached the end of the tchum, you can't go any further because it's Shabbos. I'm carrying on, you've got to go back. The Melech HaShlomo in Pirkei Avos says that it was in the schar for that Elisha ben Avoya is quoted in Pirkei Avos. It's the only time in Shas that Elisha ben Avoya is quoted in the Mishnah. He's quoted more and more cotton. But the only Mishnah in Shas which has said the Shema Elisha ben Avoya, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Beria, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't hold back the schar of anybody, and in return for having stopped Rameh going beyond the Kum Shabbos, he had his Mishnah written in Pirkei Avos. Says Rameh, Omalei Achasach Chazorboch, maybe you go back as well, which meant no, you turn back, maybe you come and do tshuva. Omaleva Kval Marchiloch Kvashimach Machere Hapargod says Acher to Rameh, I've already told you. I've already heard. I've got inside information. I heard Machere Hapargod. Shuvu Bonim Shevovim Chutzma Acher. Everybody's welcome to do tshuva except for Acher. Tokfei Aile Lebe Medrosha. So Rameh chapped Acher, chapped his Rebbe, and he stepped him into a base medrash. And as was quite commonly used when you wanted to know what was appropriate and what was the wanted from you in Shemayim, he turned to a child and he said, Sekhi Tzukech, tell me the pasuk that you just learned. And the child said, Ein Shalom Omer Hashem L'Rishayim. Because Bok says there's no peace for Rishayim. From which Acher understood, you're not wanted. And the Gemara goes on and says that he took him to another shul, and he quoted the next pasuk that he was quoted was the pasuk in Yirmia. However much you scrub your sin and you use detergent and you try and rub it away, it's sealed before me. And this went on, says the Gemara, 13 shuls, 13 bottom of drashim they went in, and each and every time he got the same message. The Gemara says finally they went into one shul and the child said a pasuk of and that child had a speech impediment, and Acher understood him saying Ulelisha, sort of, he thought it was talking directly to him. The Gemara says he had a knife, and it sounds like he chopped the child into 13 pieces, but then the other says it wasn't the child he chopped into 13 pieces, it was the sefer he was holding in his hand, and he sent a piece to each of the shuls that he'd been to, and he said, look, I'm not wanted, there's no point trying to persuade me, I'm not wanted. And then Mora goes in to describe what happened after Acher passed away, and how Rameh tried to get him into Gan Eden, or at least get him into Gehenim so that he should get a kapara, and then Rabbi Yochanan schlepped him into Gan Eden. And the Gemara goes on to say, how could Rameh have learnt Torah from Acher? Surely one's not allowed to learn from a Rebbe who is a Rosha. And the Gemara uses expression of Rameh rimrein motzo toche ochal kliposo zorak. He found a pomegranate, he ate its insides, and he discarded the skin, the peel, which meant that he was able to extract the goodness and not learn from any of the ra. I remember hearing many years ago of Orovsky's shir in Tisha B'Av afternoon. He was in the Gemara HaNizokin. The Gemara says that at the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim, so the first Roman general who was sent was Nero. And he arrived and he shot an arrow in all four directions, and each of the arrows landed in his leg. So he also took a child and he said, "Tzoki tzoki." And the pasuk which the child told him indicated to him that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish Klal Yisrael, but whoever did it would then be punished. And he realized Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to avenge what I do. If I punish Klal Yisrael, it's going to be taken out on the afters. And he ran away, and the Gemara says, if anybody remembers, the Nofak Mine Remer. Who was descended from General Nero? None other than Remer, the Tana Remer. And I remember Rabbi Robert saying at the time, he quoted this Gemara in Chagiga, and he said, Remer was Rimoin Motza, Toche Ochal, Kipose Zorak. That was the Sheirish of Remer, to be able to extract the Netzetus of Kedusha and be able to discard the rest. And that was where Remer himself came from. I said I'd explain what was the expression of Kitzitz Matios. The Sefer Shiuri Adas explains that the expression of Kitzitz Matios was that things which are planted are quite clear where their source is. But what Acher did, he looked at the Pamalia Shamana and he was so awed, he was so impressed by what he saw, he was Kitzitz Matios. He unrooted them and assumed that they weren't tracked to the ultimate source, but they were something in their own right. That's the expression of Kitzitz Matias. Others explain that after he was not at the Tarvis Ro, he actually took young Tamil Chachomim and persuaded them to go off the track. So he unrooted young saplings. The Gemara quotes various psukim which were the subject of a machlokes between Remeir and his Rebbe Acher after he was not at the Tarvis Ro. And Tosus brings Bishendi Rishalmi, the one of the psukim which was the subject of machlokas between them was the poskim kaheles of Toiv Achris Dova Mirishise, which Acher learnt shant as being Toiv Achris Dova. When is something good at the end? Only Mirishise, only if it was good, only if it was always good, if it was good at the beginning. And Acher brought a raya, says Rishalmi, from his own bris. And the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says that at the bris of Elisha ben Avuya, his father Avuya made a suda, and all the Tanoim were invited. And Rav Lozan and Rav Yeshua sat down to learn whilst the bris was going on. And to quote you the Loshan, Yorda Ishmin Hashemayim, as they were learning and they were Nisastik and Divrei Torah, a fire came down from Shemayim, the Kifa Oison, and surrounded Rav Lozan and Rav Yeshua. Says Avui, comes running over, comes up. He says, "You come to burn my house down? What are you doing?" So they said to him, "Chas v'shalom, Ele Yoshvin Hayinu, v'chozrin Divrei Torah mitorah, mitorah nevim nevim mitzuvim, v'yadvarim semechim k'nisinosom misinah." Wasn't the Torah given at Sinai by Eish? So to here, we were learning Torah and Eish came down. Nothing to worry about, it's not going to damage anything. And Avuya was so impressed. He said, "Oh, that's what Torah can do. I want this Rachanimo. I want him to learn Torah." So there was a slight element of Shlo Lishma, because his father wanted him to learn Torah because he was impressed with the fire which was associated with it. He said, "I want my son to be able to have that sort of Torah as well." So says Acher, "Tevach Christov and Rishisa, you can only be good at the end if you were good at the beginning. And my very essence had an element of Shlo Lishma in it. For me, it's no good. There's no hope." And Remeir says, "No. Tevach Christov and Rishisa means that even if something wasn't good at the beginning, but the Acher can be good. You don't have to worry if the Rishis isn't good. Tov Achris Dov Mirishisa, even if the beginning isn't good, the Sof can still be good. The Achris can still be good." So what's Pshat in the Gemara? Shuvu Bonim Shevavim Kutz Ma'acha. Surely we have a cloud. Dein Lecha Dova She'omi Bifnei Tshuva. There's nothing which withstands Tshuva. And we know that even Menashe, who was one of the the greatest Ovid Avodah Zorah that existed, he was able to do tshuva. So why was Acha told, you can't do tshuva? So there's various mahalchim in the Mefarshim. The Ovid Yisrael, and I saw this also in Gedal Yashah, Zichron Livrachim, the Ovid Aliyo, he says that tshuva bonu shevovim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends out a message daily and transmits a hisoris to Rishayim to do tshuva. Tshuva bonim shalim, that's the baska. It's, if you imagine now we've got radio waves, there's a transmission which is beamed out every day to try and penetrate the hearts of Rishayim, do tshuva. Chapa hispadis, do tshuva. However, if some, we know the Gemara in Yuma says, someone says, echto va'oshuv, I will sin and I will do tshuva, then the Gemara says he is not in a speaking the other last of tshuva. That's what it means. Not that if you do tshuva it won't be received, but that those transmissions of his oiris, of do tshuva, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beaming out through the Rosh saying do tshuva, those don't happen. It becomes a lot harder. You've got to find his oiris. A person has to find this oiris within themselves to do it. But certainly if they were to do tshuva, and proper tshuva, that tshuva would be received. Ben Yehuda explains it slightly differently. Ben Yehuda says that tshuva bonim shavovim. Normally we say that tshuva meyira, there's two types of tshuva. There's tshuva me'ava, there's tshuva meyira. And tshuva meyira, although of a lesser degree, is mukubeles. However, you acher, it's not going to be the geder shavovim. If you do tshuva as a shavov meyira, just because you're scared of the onesh, that's not going to be good enough. You're going to have to do tshuva me'ahava. So what should Acher have done? Where he's faced with message after message of go away, you're not wanted. So Waxman explained, he said he should have stood behind that closed door and cried out from behind that closed door Shvachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants to do tshuva. Moshe Lamar Dov HaDoma, a world famous doctor who people are clamoring to be able to see, and he's so busy that the door is closed. I'm sorry, we can't accept any new patients. What happens? People who are determined don't accept no as an answer, and they stand outside the door and they wait and they try and pull strings and they try and knock and knock, and we're not going away. Isn't that the greatest shvach for that doctor? That even though he's saying, I'm sorry, it's too busy, we can't see you, that people say, we're not going to take no for an answer? That's what Acher should have done. He should have stood behind that closed door, and from the darkness of you're not wanted, he should have continued to sing the shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would have been a tremendous, tremendous nachas roch. In fact, if we tied in with Shavuos, that's exactly what Rus. That's what happened to Rus. She was told, "You're not welcome in Klal Yisrael. You know, a Mayavi is not welcome in Klal Yisrael." And what did she say? "I'm not giving up. Amech Ami, Amekach Alakoi. Your God is my God. Your people is my people. I'm not going away." Until they found there was a little yud there. There's Mayavi, Vlo Mayavis. Right? That's what the yud is. Dov Damelech says, Makimi me'ofadol. It's all the yuds there in that capital to him and Halut. It's all the yud. The yud was the one that saved David HaMelech. He said, if it hadn't been for the yud, it's me'aviv le'me'avis. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the famous story of Reb Lezeben Durdi, I think it is, who was a gentleman who had been over every single avir in the Torah, until one day he suddenly realized what stage he had reached. And he turned and he asked Shemayim to help him, asked Oretz to help him, and nobody would help him until he realized, and he put his head between his knees and he cried, and on him, the Gemara says, Yesh ken eloma b'sha'afas. He was also an example of somebody who wouldn't take no for an answer. Everybody turned around and said, no, you're not wanted, you're not welcome, your tshuva isn't going to be accepted. But he persevered. The Tzadok HaKohen in Tzidkas HaTzadik says, even in Inyan HaOlam Hazeh, we have a klal of Ein Senchon al Neis, but in Yon Olam Habo, you can be Senech al Neis. And even if a person would see that according to the normal drachim, his tshuva, he's beyond hope for tshuva, Nevertheless, he shouldn't give up hope, and he should be soimech al hanes that his tshuva will be accepted. And the Shlo in Shara Oisius says, there's a klal, kol ma she'oymer lecho balabayis asei, whatever your host says to you, do, chutz mitzei, except for leave. And that's the message. Even if the message which a person is receiving is go away, you're not wanted, you don't listen. Rav Desna Michtam Elio takes on a slightly different angle. He quotes Rishon Baal Shem Tov that this message of the Baskar, which said to Acher, Shivu Bonim Shivovim, Chutz Ma'acher, that was no Baskar. It was his Das Panimi, which I understand as meaning that was his Yetzahara. It was the Yetzahara saying to him, nah, there's no point. You're not going to be accepted. There's no point. You might as well go and Hakka Git Leben. You're not going to be accepted. And it was a Nisoyen. It was a Nisoyen of hopelessness. It was a Nisoyen that people have in different degrees throughout life, of being depressed and nothing's worthwhile doing. That was a Nisoyen which Acher had. Now let's go back to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. What did Elisha ben Avoya say? He said, if you haven't learned Torah when you're young, there's no point learning when you're old. Give up. There's no point. It's hopeless. But that was Acher. That was his Tov Acher Tov Merishisei interpretation. There's only something can only be good at the end if it was good at the beginning. There's only a tachlis of learning when you're old if you've been learning all the way along. But there's no point doing it now if you haven't been learning when you were young. That's the message of Acher. But that's not the correct interpretation. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, Moshe Moadov Adoma is of a landlord who gives, of a boss who gives two of his employees buckets. And he says, take these buckets and go and fill me, transport some water from the well into that container. And they look at the buckets, and there's holes in the bottom of the buckets. So one of them says, I'm not doing this. He says, I'm not doing this, what's the point? A waste of time. And the other one turns to him and he says, what do you care? He's paying you by the hour. You've been paid by the hour. He wants you to do this? So do this. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. You're not going to remember your learning? So what? That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do, is to learn. The fact you may not remember it, doesn't matter. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do is to learn Torah. And he's paying you by the hour. And if we look in the Mishnayos there, which have a Hemshah, I think that it concludes this very nicely, because the next mission says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Ishkhar Bavli says someone who learns, he then goes on to say someone who learns from Katanim is similar to somebody who eats raw fruit, and somebody who learns from Zakanim is somebody who is comparable to somebody who eats ripe fruit. And in the next mission Rameah says Atistakul Bekamka El Mashiyeshba, don't look at the container, don't look at the outside, look at what's inside. That's Rameir of Ruman Motzer. And furthermore, the Mephoshim says, the Medrash Shmuel says, after Sakal become come, that sometimes a person can look at himself and think, I've done such averas, where the Torah says, Vinake lo yinake, you're not going to get forgiven. Vinake lo yinake, says the Medrash Shmuel. The Rameir says, Altistaka Bakankam, don't look at the kufnun in the words Vinake lo yinake. If you take out the kufnun from Vinake and you take out the kufnun from yinake, you're left with Yudke Vovke, which is the Shema Krishbalka of Rahman. Altistaka Bakankam says the Kleyoka ela Bama Ma Sheyeshba. Ma is 45, and you take Yudke Vovke and you write it Bimilua, you spell out the letters Yudke Vovke, it comes to 45. That's the message of Rameir, in contrast to the message of Rebbe. We should be zoicha that we should approach Chag HaShavuos and be able to deserve the Kabbalah Satorah and enjoy Yom Tov and Shem in Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh.